Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
Turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 12. If you and I were to survey the 14 books of the New Testament, these books written by the great Apostle Paul, as you and I go back to the book of Acts, as we have studied wonderfully on Wednesday night for the past 3 years, we have studied about the Apostle Paul's conversion in Acts chapter number 9 as he met the Lord on the road to Damascus. We hear Ananias as he said to him, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." We hear Paul as he remunerates for Agrippa and for Felix. In Acts chapter 22 and Acts chapter number 26, how that he was converted, how that he saw the Lord on the way, and how that that conversion made a difference not only in his life, but in the lives of the many people to whom he had preached. When you and I read in the book of Acts chapter number 20, we find Paul as he is getting ready to go to Jerusalem. He's called the elders of Ephesus together at Miletus. And he said to them on that occasion, he said, I go bound to Jerusalem. I do not know what shall befall me. Paul said, I have kept back nothing that was profitable to you, but I have taught you publicly and from house to house. He said, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. When you and I go to the book of Corinthians that Paul wrote, one of these 14 books, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, we find that Paul makes the statement. He said, though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said that I buffet my body. I bring it under subjection, lest after I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. As you and I read those 16 chapters in 1 Corinthians, as Paul deals with almost every problem a church could have, and then writes the second book commending them for correcting some of the problems that had existed when he wrote 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And then we survey the 11th chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians, in which Paul points out everything that he had gone through in serving God, in preaching the gospel, how that he had been shipwrecked, how that he had been beaten, how he had been to the deep, how he had hungered, and he goes through a list of things that had occurred in his life as a result of preaching the gospel. If you and I stopped right there, what a phenomenal life the Apostle Paul had lived. I have traveled in a few places throughout our world, but I have never in any sense of the imagination, I have never even come close. Ladies and gentlemen, I shudder at the very idea of being able to be in the same heaven with the Apostle Paul. But then, when you go to the 12th chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul said, I knew a man who was caught up into the third heaven. There is no doubt that that man that he is speaking of is himself. But now listen to this. He said, I saw things that I am not able to utter. Now I want you to just look at that particular position that this man is in. That he has traveled the earth preaching the gospel. He has been before Caesar or in Caesar's household and converted even some of those individuals who are in that household. He was before Agrippa. He was before Felix. But he said, I was caught up in the third heaven and I saw things that I am not able to utter. Now, I don't know what that would do to you or to me. If I had a message, if I had a phone call that I was to meet with, folks, even the governor of our state of Georgia, if I said, man, what an honor that is that I have been invited to sit down and meet with the governor of the state of Georgia, or that if I had been invited into some high like-minded meeting in Washington, D.C. To help decide, and if you can get me an appointment like this, I'd love it because I'd like to do that. Help decide some of the policies that are going on in our nation today. Now, ladies and gentlemen, can you imagine what it would be like to be in the center of power? Paul says, "I was caught up into the third heaven, and I saw things that I am not able to utter." If you and I ended it right there, what an exciting occasion that would be. But now I want you to go down in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 and listen to what the Apostle Paul said. Paul said, "Lest I should be exalted overmuch or above measure through the abundance of the revelation." If we just stop right there. If you go back to the book of Ephesians in chapter number 3, Paul said, I went to Arabia and I was there for 3. After his obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul went to Arabia and there he was instructed. He had the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God was leading and guiding the Apostle Paul. And now Paul says, "Lest I should be exalted above measure because of the abundance of revelation." Now listen to this. "There was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to buffet my body," to buffet me, "lest I should be exalted overmuch." He said, "Regarding this thing, I besought the Lord thrice that He might remove it." But in verse number 9, Paul said, "The Lord said unto him, My strength is made perfect in weakness." He said, "My grace is sufficient for you." And then Paul said this, "Therefore will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of God might be made known." And that's powerful. When you and I, ladies and gentlemen, look, and sometimes you look at this passage of Scripture, I think a central foundation of 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 is this phrase, "in which our Lord made." Now, when you and I look, I mean, here is something our Lord said to Paul, and that is this. He said, "Paul, my grace is sufficient for you." When you and I study the Bible in Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." When you and I read in Titus chapter 2, the Bible says at verse number 11, "that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." If you and I, for an example, turn to the book of Matthew chapter number 5 and it's verses 40 and verse 41, we see this picture of grace in which our Lord said that if a man sue thee at law and take away thy coat, give him thy cloak also. And in verse 41, He said, "If a man compel thee to go with him a mile, go with him twain." In both of those cases, ladies and gentlemen, there is a picture of the grace of God. When you and I turn again to the New Testament, in the book of Luke chapter number 10, you remember the story of the Good Samaritan. The Bible said a man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and he fell among thieves who robbed him, stripped him of his raiment, and left him half dead. And the Bible says that a priest, and I'm going to go through this quickly, a priest and a Levite came by and they passed by on the other side. And the Bible said that a Samaritan, here is a man who was considered a dog by the Jews. Perhaps it could have very well been that while he was, I mean, when this man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, apparently was a businessman, it could have well been that while he was in Jerusalem, that this very man had ridiculed him, had laughed at him, had cajoled him, as a matter of fact, had perhaps in some way persecuted him. And now this Samaritan on his way to Jericho, as he goes down that road and he sees that man, what would be the reaction of 99% of us? It would simply be that we would add to his pain. Look what you have done to me. You're getting what you deserve. But you and I know that is not what happened. You and I know that he helped that man. Did he deserve it? No. But you see, my friend, there is the picture of the grace of God, the unmerited favor and the love of God, that man does not get what he needs, he gets, or does not get what he deserves, but gets what he needs. That's grace. Now there are three things in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Number one is this. Why are there thorns in life? Paul said that I should not be exalted above measure because of the abundance of the revelation, because of my position. He said, I have this thorn in the flesh. Now, there are three reasons, basically. Number one is this. Thorns come in order that the perfectness of Christ, notice what he said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. You see, independence on my part does not show the picture and the strength of God. The elders of this congregation, every year, we have set a goal, we have set a budget that exceeds what we can envision in our mind being able to accomplish. And one of the reasons why we do that, and that is simply because we want God to have room to operate in the lives of the members of this congregation. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you remember what the Bible says? When we do that which it is our duty to do, we are still unprofitable servants. When you and I read in the Old Testament, do you remember in the book of Judges, there was a man back there by the name of Gideon? And one of the interesting things, God called Gideon to destroy these Amalekites, you remember that? And he called for these men, 30-something thousand men came, and God said, you have too many, tell everybody that is afraid, go home, 23,000 went home. Finally, God said, you've got too many, and he boiled it down to 300 men. Why did he do that? Because he did not want them standing up and saying, look what we have been able to do. God said, Paul, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Because the Apostle Paul, in all of the frailty, in all of the thorns, in all of the difficulties, he said, therefore I will glory in the power of God. See, look folks, you and I cannot do anything apart and aside from God's grace. Thorns are there because God's strength can be seen. I've seen fellas, and I thought, man, how in the name of common sense could they ever do anything? But what they did is they mustered what God had given them, and they used it to His glory, and they used it in His service. There may be some of you in this assembly today who are sitting back saying, Brother Acuff, I don't have any ability. I mean, I can't do this or I can't do that. I do not have any ability. And my friend, it is then that God can use you. Because it is then that His strength can be made. Let me give you a second reason. Paul said that I should not be exalted above measure. The Bible teaches us humility. The Bible teaches us, Paul writes to the Philippian brethren, and he said, let each man esteem others better than himself. Listen, folks, you and I can get cocky sometimes. We can get the idea, well, God, man, you ought to be lucky to have me. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it's a great blessing to preach the gospel. And one of the difficulties that we could find, even as gospel preachers, and that is that we may get involved in tickling the backs of the brethren rather than preaching the word that motivates them to do the will of God. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, and his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when when men will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. You see, ladies and gentlemen, there are probably hundreds of people in this area who would attend our services if we would preach a message that didn't include hell, that didn't include dedication, that didn't include giving, that didn't include baptism, that didn't include you being faithful to every service of the church. There'd be some folks that would show up. But that's all they're going to be doing, and that's showing up. Ladies and gentlemen, if any man had a right to glory, it was Paul in Christ. You see, ladies and gentlemen, thorns are there for three reasons. Number one, that the strength of God might be perfect in weakness. Secondly, that he might not be exalted over much. And thirdly, Paul said that God may receive the glory. It is not unusual to, on television or even in some quotation mark churches of Christ, it is not unusual when the preacher makes a dynamic point to the audience or something is done, the audience sits back and they clap. You know what they're doing? They're clapping for the preacher. They're clapping because the preacher made a point. Paul said, I glory in that God is glorified and not me. Now let me give you a second thing. That is this. There are three reasons for thorns. And that's point number one. Number two reasons. Everybody will have a thorn at one time or another. Now, I want you to think about this. Paul said, I besought the Lord thrice. Three times. Take away this thorn. Now then, it happens to every one of us. We have those thorns. Some of us have different, we have different kinds of thorns. I wrote an article several years ago title, My Roses Have Thorns. I love raising rose bushes. We get a lot of that in Michigan. It's not very good climate here. The ground doesn't seem to do as well, and so we haven't done it recently. But these roses, they were beautiful, but when you go to pick them, there were thorns there. But it was the thorns that made the roses. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when you have a thorn in your life, you can choose. Paul asked the Lord, would you take it away? God said, no. I'm going to take it. You know what he said? He said, Paul, my grace, my unmerited favor, my endless love will take care of whatever it is. Paul said, turn your Bibles. If you have a Bible, the book of 2 Corinthians. I want you to look at this. I want you to look at what he said. He uses this word, most gladly. most glad. You know what that means? I'm not going to sit around whine crying about my storm. Most gladly. He said, therefore, or because of that, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest in me. I will use it to His glory. Will you do that today?